We did have a withdrawal yesterday. Robert McIntyre.
The Heat?
12 swamp over. Ass. 12 over. Might as well call it swamp ass. Last year's champ, Justin Rose, is 3 over for the tournament. So will
this
not
thing will do you in.
Yeah, he will not be. It's just, you know, I mean, and, you know, this is one of those things where maybe that does have something to do with it. We tend to have random champions here. We had Lucas Glover, remember, a couple years ago.
You asked me if I remember. I don't, but yes.
I think it was a playoff as well.
Yes.
Didn't Hovland win 1 year?
I don't remember if Hovland won.
I know, and Phil got that skip off the 18th, remember, on the water 1 year.
Yeah, I just remembered Lucas Glover won it.
Guys, you don't owe it to the PGA to remember any of this stuff, okay? So don't feel guilty.
Yes, yeah. Champs.
Yeah, well, I
it
try.
Does feel random some years, though, to your point. Yeah.
This was 2023. He won a playoff with Patrick Cantlay. Lucas Glover in 2023.
Cantlay, who's 5 under, 4 today.
We had Lucas Glover in 2023. We had Hideki Matsuyama in 2024, and then Justin Rose in 2025. Hovland finished as a runner-up.
Okay.
That's why you're thinking Hovland.
DJ 1 in 20.
Yeah, DJ 1 in 20.
Pretty good. Reed in
30 under. Pretty good. He just absolutely destroyed the field.
Yeah.
Tony Finau won. So we have had some. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau in 2018.
There you go.
You know, DJ won it again in 20. So we have had some winners, but it's not, you know, there's some randomness in there as well.
Yeah. Just wait till we get Challenger Series.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. You want to experience some randomness.
Oh, yeah.
Wait for a couple of years, guys.
I'm going to try to get my card for that. I can get on the course for that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Ed McDougal should get out there, too, and try to win it every year.
Yeah.
Our man from White Station, the former golf
good
coach.
Player.
Local amateur that's won just about everything.
Yeah.
Out there. Hopefully Ed can get in that.
Yeah.
And we can have that White Station rooting in.
Yeah, it'll essentially be the Memphis Public, right? I mean, that's what the Challenger Series is, they tell me. So
opportunity.
It's literally like less than a mile from my house, so it's cool to drive by it, but that's about the economic impact that it has for me. I know that it's bigger, St. Jude, $86 million over the course of the tournament.
It'll
understand.
It'll be 100 when we're done.
Hopefully. I understand that. However, we will find ways, right? We will find ways to contribute to St. Jude.
Well, we do with a marathon.
You know.
And we'll do more.
We could do ESPN Jeopardy. You watching that?
Not yet.
I've watched a few episodes.
You watch multiple episodes?
I've watched one.
Is Buck any good at it?
He's okay. He's a little stiff.
I wondered about him.
But, you know, maybe that's what the Jeopardy audience wants.
We could have found, like, Tony Reale or something and get somebody.
Yeah, Tony Reale would have been interesting. I think he would have been an interesting.
I don't know what their relationship is now, ESPN and him.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it moved on. But a host like him.
Yes.
Right, that can move it around.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
Buck's,
have a little fun.
Buck's good at moving it around, but it's like there's little moments where there's like some banter, some back and forth where it's like he's just not funny. He's just not a funny guy. So, you know, that is something that I enjoy. If you can be funny, we can do whatever you want to do. But if you're like stiff, you're like, yeah. That was really good, Jim. That, you know, that's kind of how he does the Jeopardy, you know? Like, ha ha, yeah.
That's how Troy Aikman fake laughs at Joe Buck's jokes.
Yeah, which, again, it was.
But Troy's stiff as well. It's hard to make him laugh.
So you have two stiff guys. It works. When you have two stiff guys, it works. If you have a stiff guy and a funny guy, it's probably not going to work.
It's gonna be uncomfortable.
That's kind of what you get with Nance and Romo a little bit. They found a way to kind of make it work, but, you know, it's not. It's not as good as it could be, maybe. Anyway, yeah, ESPN Jeopardy's fun, though. What's his name? Schrager's killing it right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sports nerd.
Yeah, they had MJ Acosta-Ruiz on there. Disastrous. The guy, Omar, from the social media for ESPN, disastrous.
I'll tell you what, though. Schrager won the war against Ryan Clark.
He sure
did. For
the
sports nerds over the pros.
And now he's on
Joe's
Jeopardy.
Joe's versus pros.
Ryan Clark's on Twitter. I mean,
Schrager won. Remember Ryan called him out.
He did.
Man.
He did. He's standing, his last man standing. So, anyway, all right, we'll come back with a rundown. Anthony Sain at 11:25. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Big news today for the unemployed. Pat McAfee has a musical album that he has released on Spotify and YouTube. Called Diary of a Polarizing Figure. So I know you were listening to that on the way in. And
is he polarizing?
it seems to me that he is not very polarizing.
I was going to say.
Based on, but maybe,
the
I mean,
people
I,
that are with him are all the way with him, and then if you're not, you know, you're kind of not in that crowd, you just stand away from it.
Yeah, I mean,
as opposed
I,
to, like, fight McAfee.
He's not my, like, when I think polarizing, I think, like, Stephen A. I think Skip Bayless, like, those are the types. I mean, I don't know, maybe. I think the more high profile you are, just the inevitably more polarizing you probably become. Like LeBron is polarizing, you know. Like he shouldn't be, but he is. I mean, just the reality of it. Feels like maybe. I mean, don't you think Tom Brady is polarizing, or was when he was in the league?
I think of polarizing as people that look to be controversial.
Yeah.
So maybe I have a different definition of it, or folks that actually look to go out and make. And sometimes I suppose Stephen A. does that, but.
I don't know. Like I think. Well, you know, Pat McAfee's not for me. Like he's not my brand of sports.
I would say Clay Travis polarizing.
Absolutely.
In many cases, seeking to be in some of those takes is what that's kind of my definition of. But it can vary, and there are different degrees of it.
Yeah. But I do want to. I do want to let you know that it is available.
Your man, you guys are real cool. Whitlock, polarizing.
Oh yeah. Me and Whitlock are like.
Don't you jump on his show from time to time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I thought. Blaze. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. I've been a long fan of Whitlock since he was at the Kansas City Star.
Polarizing.
And,
I mean, he ain't at the top, but it's stuff you say. He's trying to be controversial.
Brother. Mm-hmm. Brother. But yeah, obviously, I'm a big fan of the work that Jason Whitlock and Clay Travis, you know, all the things that they do, you know. They inspired me to shave my head, you know,
like Remy,
and just sort of come over to that side.
Yeah, be careful.
By the time I get back on Monday, I'm gonna be asking, "What is a woman?" Enos Kanter on Monday, 11:25. Right.
Yeah. Just be careful, John. You want to play? Sometimes you slide into it. You get swept up in cancel culture.
Is that
so?
Bad?
You be careful.
Cancel culture is back. Anyway, I did want to let you know that is available on Spotify and YouTube if you wanted to have some weekend listening.
Thanks.
Pat McAfee, Diary of a Polarizing Figure. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it. This is a schedule. This is the Grizzly schedule. It is going to be actually what I'm holding in my hand is going to be I'm going to submit this, and we're going to get it plaqued up, and it will be on display at the Children's Museum. For the next calendar year. It is going to be Rob Fisher's breakdown of this Grizzly schedule. So I got with the museum director down there, and it's going to be on the nose of the FedEx plane. So if you want to see it down there at the Children's Museum, you know, because he breaks down various things like how many back-to-backs are there in March, the longest road trip, you know, how many games and how many days, LeBron, Caleb Wilson, DeBanza, NBA Cup. I mean, it's all broken down here. But what you really need to know, 41 home, 41 road, starts on the 21st of October with a home game against Jaren and DP. Now, earlier today,
looking forward to that.
You started this show by asking a question that's hanging over the entire association, which is how will DP and Keyonte George coexist?
DP likes to be on the ball.
He has to be on the ball because
Keyonte George just kind of took off last year too.
Yes, he did.
And he loves putting up the points, as you know.
He does.
Remember when he had a little matchup against Ja?
I do.
And he was taking great pleasure in going one-on-one against Ja.
You're exactly right.
Averaged over 20 last year.
Yeah, he had a great year last year.
Okay.
And so I do think that Darren Peterson is not effective if he doesn't have the ball in his hands.
Right.
So, and I would say the same with Keyonte George.
We need to have this discussion with Sane too, because he thinks it's going to make at least one of them, you can guess who, expendable Utah Jazz.
There's no doubt that the Jazz will be looking to trade Darren
Peterson. You agree
Peterson.
With that? No.
And I say, would you give up Ty Jerome for Darren Peterson?
Yeah, we can make that deal. I don't think that's the guy they're going to let go.
He's quickly becoming beloved, though, in Memphis, Ty Jerome is. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely going to have to make a choice there. They won't be today, but, you know, at some point I think that will become obvious because there's just too much repetition there.
Do we not do two ball handlers in this league? Is that not what Cleveland's doing? Is it not what most teams – is it not what Minnesota is doing, LaMelo and Ant Edwards? I mean, you know, where you have two guys that can bring it up.
Let me pull up
suggesting this is the way you go, but
yeah.
A lot of teams have two guards.
Yeah, I mean.
Two guys that can run the point.
Yeah, fair enough. Could do it that way.
Although, I just wonder in this case, if Keyonte it might end up being the kind of guy that ends up selfish or doesn't work well when it's that type of, you know, system.
Yeah.
It's going to be a guy that needs the ball in his hands and isn't so happy either. So it'll be interesting to see if they can work that
very
out.
Very fair.
Some backcourts, though, some teams successful with two guys bringing it up.
Well, you're gonna see it immediately. Get your tickets.
Which is going to be less usage, though, for Keontae, which ultimately I think he won't like.
Yes.
You wonder about a young player like that that just experienced a pretty good year, a breakout year last year.
Yep. 13 back-to-backs for the Memphis Grizzlies. Their longest road trip is 4 games twice. Longest homestand is 8 games. They have 3 games versus 6 opponents. Lakers, Denver, Portland, Minnesota, Sacramento, Utah. They have, 14 games at home on the weekend, it looks like, compared to 21 last year. So less home games on the weekend for the Grizzlies this year if you're one of those, you know, that takes the family down. I'm excited because, you know, selfishly, personally, this will be the first year I get to take Dom down to a Grizz game, right?
He's going to love it. Streamers, all that for him.
You think we'll have many streamers this year? One I got to pick? I got to pick a pretty good, like.
You'll get, what, 10 to 12? 10 like, to 15?
I can circle and say that's a good chance because I definitely would want to pick one that they have a chance to win. Oh, Brooklyn on the 14th of November. That's easy. That's the one right there.
Well, yeah, now, days of the week are going to matter in this case, right, for young Dom.
Mm-hmm.
What they fall on and whether or not they're
Yeah, Saturday. That's a Saturday.
Oh, that is a Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay,
it is a back-to-back.
There you go. Okay.
But they're just in New Orleans, so it shouldn't be that rough. But that's an easy one to look at.
You mentioned something earlier. Don't fall too in love with Ty Jerome. He is not for long in the Grizzlies uniform.
No, agreed.
Understand that man has a player option for next year. He's looking to get paid.
Halloween against the Kings. Although, you know, we'll probably have things to do on Halloween. Monday at home against New Orleans on the 2nd, on November the 2nd. That could be one, right?
Sure.
I assume they'd be favored. I don't know. There's some opportunities. There's some opportunities on this schedule. Who is CJ trying to see this year? Who's the big, like, 12-year-old superstar in that generation? Is it still LeBron?
You know what resonates with him? Like, the fact that LeBaron Filon went on a bunch of guys' Instagrams and put likes and fire signs. Very smart of him as a Puma athlete to do that. See what I mean? Trying to build up. You see what he's doing? He's trying to build up a young fan. And those kids went nuts about it.
Yep.
And so what's weird is it's the kind of guys that they can reach out to and feel like they can be a part of, whether it's Instagram or whatever else, as opposed to the star. You might think it's the young star. And sure, my kid likes Cooper and Con Knipple and everything. Dylan Harper is big for Chris. But it's also those guys that they feel like they can relate to the most on their social medias or whatever else. And so, you know, it's LeBaron Filon, who might not play a lick for Philly this year because of how loaded they are.
Yep.
You know, he's high on the list. And, you know, LeBaron was at the EYBL event, spending time. He's your guy, Mike Miller's guy. But, yeah, it's not always the, you know, the next star that those guys are holding up.
Yeah, very true.
Which I like. Yeah. Look, because some of those stars end up letting you down.
Maybe they
aren't
do.
So good at role models.
Yep.
If you catch my drift.
So anyway, this will be on display at the Children's Museum for the next year as the Grizzlies go through their 26-27. Kicks off Wednesday, October 21st against the Jazz. Catch every game right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real quick, I'm going to go back to it too. You know what my son said about that grill that Ja just had?
What's that?
It's stupid. And it was music to my ears.
Wow.
When my 12-year-old said, how much was that grill? Did you see it? We haven't talked about
it. I think it was like
$250,000.
Yeah,
$250,000. Okay. I'm not doing it because he's gone. We would have done it when he's. This is the kind of stuff I say. Where are you? Been a pro for 8 years now. What are we doing?
Yep.
Like, who are we trying to? We trying to get likes? And so the fact that my son can recognize that as a silly use, bro, that's something we felt like we should players doing in the 90s when you were going broke, when you didn't have nothing. You know what I'm saying? When you were done by the end of your career, you'd spend up all your money. Like, what are we doing, man? Go invest something. And I'm sure you have, but you could invest in that $252.
Yep.
Or you could have done something great with it. I mean, and I'm not telling man, but the fact that my son saw that. Right, and you have some youth out here that understand. Okay, that ain't something I'm trying to aspire to. It, that man, it was refreshing to hear him look at it that way. That's not part of the story. Didn't think we'd go there, but we didn't spend any time on that.
Yep.
I am so, when I heard my son say that, was one thing feeling as a father. The other thing was, man, I'm glad we've moved on. Man, I'm glad we got Cam Boozer. Man, I'm glad we're moving on. Got a couple of Grizzlies that are getting married up, engaged, and Cedric and Jalen Wills. Not trying to make this about versus Ja and now we're all right because he's moved on, but still caught up in that? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Bradley Beal continues to steal from the league. Signed a 2-year, $13.2 million deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, they got to spend money on somebody, so we get it. But Bradley Beal, who played in 6 games last year, and now will add to a lifetime earnings number that currently sits at $342 million. He's going to add now, 2 years? 2 years, $15 million. 2 years, $19 million over the next two to that top. It'll put him over $360 million. I suppose if I go back and add up all these numbers, Bradley Beal at this point in his career, ineffective, hasn't cared much in terms of about championship. Remember the experiment in Phoenix, and if you're the Clippers, it's nothing more than just spending money because you have to spend it. Otherwise, I don't know that this is going to move the needle necessarily for a Los Angeles Clippers team. Let's push the reset button, and the fact that it's traded Kawhi. You now have a team that's, depending upon what book you look at, that win total is beneath the Grizzlies with Darius Garland and Keaton Wagler. So they're in a rebuild. It's a little bit different because you've still got some pieces from the old core.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what Bradley Beal can do in terms of adding to them. My guess is not much. He's just collecting a check here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe he's still hanging around.
I feel like Westbrook has more to offer than Bradley Beal at this point, and Westbrook is retiring.
Yeah. I mean, Bradley,
maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think so. I mean, Bradley Beal is
– Beal showing up. It felt like Westbrook would show up more.
Yeah.
Still at this point in his career, and Westbrook just retired.
Bradley Beal has not been an All-Star since 2021, has not really done anything since 2021 at all. You know, I think about him being – perceived as like that piece in Phoenix and adding absolutely nothing.
The last time I think he was ever perceived as any, that to your point, that's why I brought up Phoenix. The last time he's sort of referred to as a piece because what he showed is he's no longer.
Yeah, no, he shot the ball well there in that first year in Phoenix, but he doesn't impact winning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is. I mean, obviously he led the league in scoring in that COVID year at 31.3 points a game, but it's just like, it always feels like Bradley Beal's game is really just about Bradley Beal. It's not really about anybody else. It's not about team wins. I mean, they had a couple of, you know, playoff appearances there in Washington. I guess they had a real decent year in 2017 where they were in the playoffs for quite a while. Did they get to a conference finals? Semifinals. They got to a semifinals in 2016-17, but you know, never really threatened past that. So
it says few anticipated there being more money out there for Beal given his recent injury history. Some thought he might take a pay cut to go win a championship with the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
But he's told you again,
yep,
the money is what I want.
He
doesn't
cuts.
Care about championship. He doesn't take pay cuts. And if you thought that, you go to Miami, which probably feels like it's closer and certainly closer to coming out of the East than anything Phoenix is going to do in the West. So
yep.
He's in it for the money, always has been. And we'll see what you get in terms of your return on investment, Phoenix.
Yep, my doubt it.
Or excuse me, Clippers.
Yeah, my guess is not a whole lot. We'll come back. Anthony Sangano join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the NBA schedule and more. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every weekday at 4 p.m. He is the underground king of Memphis sports media, independent journalist and founder of Asala Media Group, weekly contributor on Grizzbeat on Grind City Media, and father of 2032 football prospect Gabriel Sain. You can follow Anthony Sain on X at Sain Asylum. And before the schedule came out, he had the scoop that is now proven to be true. You knew the weekend that Portland was coming in. You'd heard from several at least one high-ranking source, Anthony Sain, and we saw that news was correct. My question for you, sir, and congrats on the scoop, will Ja be playing in February in those games?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? Ja didn't have a lot of February action on his resume, man. It's a big question, man, big question. I hope he does for the people who are looking forward to seeing him come back, who are looking forward to seeing him here in FedEx form. I hope he plays, man. But I mean, if you're looking at trends, I mean, the answer would be no. If you just that's such a crazy question. Yeah, I mean, you gotta if you're looking at trends, the answer would be no. But we'll hope that he bucks the trend a little bit and he's able to play here in FedEx form, because you know a lot of people are gonna be wanting to see him out there for sure.
Saying you plugged in like these beat writers, the kind of guy that knows stuff about the schedule before the schedule comes out.
Man, you know, I dib and dab, man. I try to stay out of that lane, though, man, because people ain't going to never give me credit for nothing. Even when I put the tweet out, you know, when nobody really, the usual suspects didn't really pay no attention or pretended to not pay no attention. So that's, I stay out of them lanes, man. I let the guys who do that do that. But, you know, I just had to remind people every now and then. You know, I talk to people. They talk to me. They talk back, you know.
Very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's a chance that maybe a, you know, new change of scenery motivates him for at least half a season, right? I mean, golly.
Oh, Ja, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw he got a new grill. He got a new grill for his birthday. That's
my son said it was stupid, saying. What do you think about that?
I mean, he's an adult and he's a millionaire. He can do what he want to do with his money. True. But my only thing with Ja, all jokes aside, is that, you know, it just appears that optics still don't matter to him. And those things at this point should probably start to matter. Like, there's nothing wrong with him getting the grill and spending $250,000 on
that's right,
a mouth accessory. But you know, if I just think he should be a little bit more concerned about optics, especially when you're going to Portland, where you've got a 36-year-old vet there who's, that's his city, and he's coming back to his city. You see him putting in absolute work, like he's working like a machine. Mm-hmm. And Josh has been kind of, only thing we've seen is, going back to optics, only thing we've seen is, you know, shoe promos, and he got a grill and shoot promos and just a lot of nothing. You know what I mean? Like playing with guys who got his shoes on, which is another shoot promo. It's just like, now it's like we haven't really seen Ja put any work in. I haven't been looking really hard. I can't avoid certain things that pop up on my timeline. But I just wish he cared about optics a little more, because this would have been a good opportunity for him to. And even like you've seen Portland fans, they're kind of echoing a lot of things that we've said for the last, you know, 7 years.
Get ready.
As far as, yeah. So, you know, I'm just glad those aren't conversations that we have to either defend or whatever. Like I said, we all know Ja's a great player, man, but we know the bad things that came with Ja as well. So, I just wish he cared about optics, man. Like he's got a clean slate. He's down the street from Nike. He just had a shoe drop yesterday. It's like, you know, it's just the optics of the vet who's coming back to his town to redeem himself, you know, to get himself back in, you know, the king of Portland. He's putting in like major work. I haven't gone looking for it. Like I said, I see what pops up on my timeline. Yeah. But yeah, it's more of the same, seems like, with Ja. So but get your tickets now, man. Tickets on sale, I think September 1st at FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
Ja Weekend is announced here by Anthony Saint.
I didn't know you were selling tickets for him now too, Saint. My Lord, brother. Chill out.
Yeah, I like it.
Tickets available September the 1st, man. Ja Weekend. Go get them joints, man.
What do you any idea like what Portland fans think about him? Like, what's the early sentiment from them about, are they excited? I don't know if you know, if you've seen anything.
I've seen a mixed bag. You know, you can't have a guy of that level coming to your team and your social media and things don't get behind it and do the promos and all that. A lot of the fans are, you know, kind of in the early stages. Okay, this is new. Let's see what this is. I've seen some, you know, some pretty funny things on Twitter so far on both sides. But it's kind of the same stuff, same reaction we had, especially in those early years. You know what I mean? Where you got that optimism and, you know, he just needs to get out of Memphis and all that type of stuff. But, you know, stay tuned, man. I'll say this, and I've said this everywhere I've had a microphone. I don't think that stuff is going to work out there. Like, I don't think that's going to work. I think Ja's going to get traded again. They're going to send him somewhere else. I think he's probably, I'm 80% thinking Ja's going to be a Charlotte Hornet by the trade deadline. That's another thing, too, about that game. Like you said, like, if he's hurt or not, like, the bigger question is, will he be on that roster by the time that game happens? I think that's not going to work in Portland, and it's not going to work soon. I think they're going to see real early that's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that comes off like I'm being negative or I'm hating or whatever, but I don't have anything to be optimistic about. Like, I do not care about guys once they leave this team and don't play for us anymore. Like, I'm not the guy who roots for former Grizzlies like that. I literally don't care. I like these guys because they got Memphis across their chest. I don't like these guys because they're likable guys. I don't care, man. I don't care about these guys once they don't play here. I'm sorry. Like, that's just how I am. I have very little give a damn about these dudes when they don't play for us. But we'll see. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah. All right. In terms of the rest of it, obviously Jai is the most high profile piece of it. Other games that you personally have circled in terms of your interest level?
Of course, MLK game. So glad that that's back. That debacle they had last year. Great, awesome event. We're just not the team for that. You know what I mean? Right. MLK game, we need to be here. We need to be in the States, in Memphis, playing the game. They moved us to the 7 o'clock game. That's the quote unquote primetime game, but typically the 3 o'clock game is the bigger deal game. It's how that typically works, if I'm not mistaken. But it's good to be back, man. You got the Houston Rockets, a team who's probably going to be a good team. It's probably going to be a good game. Hopefully, we can pull out a win here at home, MLK game. So that's always a big deal. When it comes down to games that I actually go to, that's typically one I usually go to. I love the symposium. I just love the energy, the atmosphere. A lot of people here from out of town. You know, of course, MLK is such an important figure, not only to this city, but, you know, the nation and, you know, to the culture as well. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Other than that, man, it's the NBA, bro. You got 41 at home, 41 on the road. You play the East twice. You play your division four times. Everybody else, you play them at least three. It's like, I don't get it. Shout out to guys like Rob Fisher, but I don't get it. Like, you're going to play everybody. Like, I don't get it, man. But anyway, but I know I'm probably coming off super negative or dismissive today, but yeah, I don't. That's it, man. MLK game. Oh, and of course, when we played the other guys, they were in the top four of the draft. You know, the other guys. I want to see those for sure, especially Caleb Wilson, because that's a budding rivalry that I think is going to be a big deal for a while. And I think both guys, even though they're, you know, friends in real life, they have to be. That's a rivalry that just has to happen. So buckle up for that one for sure.
What does success look like for Tuomas Isolo next season in your mind? If for Sane to say, yeah, he did a good job with this young team, what's that got to look like?
Hovering around the play-in or making the playoffs, right. Something like that. I think he has to be – you can't be one of the bottom teams. Definitely can't be one of the bottom teams in the league. And you can't be one of the bottom teams in the West either. I think you need to be, scratching around that playoff, play-in line. I think you need to be hovering around 10-11. For most of the season. I think that's a very obtainable goal as well. I think that if you look at the season last year in pieces, especially the games where we played with Zach Edey when Ja wasn't there, and it was, kind of the other guys you had.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we were 7-4 with Zach Edey during that
games,
run.
Yeah.
And I think that's that right. It all comes down to his health. I think if he's good, these other guys are going to find their way. I had a series on the Anthony Sane show called the Grizz Nexus events where I detailed events that ultimately led to Zach Kleiman blowing up this team. I'm not of the belief that we decided to blow this thing up in January or like a lot of people think. I think that he had his eyes on blowing this thing up probably in the very first few games of the season last year, right? And I think that he kind of was doing some soft tanking the entire season. I don't really know what Tuomas Isolo is. I kind of like his style of play as far as how they play, like how they play offense, how they play defense. Mm-hmm. The rotation thing is still questionable. I mean, it always will be with a new coach or whatever. But we'll see how that is when you're actually trying to win. When you've got your guys and you're not stealth tanking, all the way tanking,
right?
Grossly tanking. We'll see how those things look. But I'm optimistic, though. I think the guys like his style and they want to play behind him. To see him show absolute joy when they drafted Cam Boozer and they had the press conference, it makes me think that, you know, he sees something that he can do with him that can, you know, really accentuate everything he likes to do. But like I said, I'm positive about it. I think he'll be fine. I think we got a lot of talented guys. We got a lot of length on this team, man. Whether you're talking about bigs or just big wings, we got a lot of guys we can just kind of throw at you in droves. And that's kind of been a winning formula in the NBA to have those versatile wings like that. I'm expecting a big year out of GG Jackson as well, whether he starts or comes off the bench. But just having, like, we've got things in this team that we really haven't had in a long time. And not to take a knock at Ja, but every guard on this team can shoot the ball. Every single one of them, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't had that in a long time. And you got a lot of versatile wings. You got a vet super versatile 3-and-D wing in Jeremy Grant, who's probably going to be your starter. And then you got a few more of those that you're bringing off the bench as well. And guys like G.G. Jackson, guys like Omax, Jalen Wells. I don't think Jalen's going to start. You got a lot of guys, a lot of long, rangy, athletic guys that can, you know, defend, shoot the ball from three, get to the bucket. We've got a lot of things in this team that we just haven't had in years past. So I'm really, really, really interested to see what those things look like, especially with a guy like, you know, Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen Jr., whatever you're doing at your point guard position. Both of those guys can shoot the ball very well. And, of course, Cam Spencer is probably one of the better shooters in the league. So I'm really interested to see what this team is going to look like for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is it's like, I don't know. Like, the fact that we're going into, like, a year, 2.5 of Thomas Isolo, I have no idea. I have no opinion about him.
Yeah, I don't know what he is.
What does he do well? I have no clue.
Yeah. Because, like I said, I think we started tanking last year a lot earlier than people probably want to admit that we did or comfortable saying that we did. And I think the Jalloween we started. I think after Jalloween it was over. Of course, Jalloween was October 31st game when Coach Isolo and Ja had their fallout, and you know the rest was history. I think around that point, Zach Klein was like, "Yeah, I got to blow this thing up." And then I don't know if y'all remember this or not, right?
As far as timeline, I felt good at the half of that game.
I don't think y'all know. I'm gonna take y'all back in time a little bit. You know the game, the Golden State Warriors game when Draymond like. I forgot I'm not on my podcast. When Draymond
bonked us.
Belittled Jaren
yes.
and Santi.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was two games before the Ja thing. So imagine what's going through Zach Kleiman's mind. He's like, all right, okay, that's what Jaren is? Okay. Oh, crap, that's what Ja is? All right. Like, imagine thinking he was about to blow this up, bro. Especially, and go back and watch my series of the Grizz Nexus events on the Anthony Sane show. But also go back and watch that 2024-25 exit interview press conference with Zach Kleiman. Watch that press conference now, knowing what you know now. And you'll realize, yeah, he probably was set on blowing this thing up way before we realized it. I mean, I think that he was pretty set on getting rid of this last generation of the Grizzlies. But we'll see, man. All that kind of stuff, the proof has to be in the pudding. We'll see. All the talking and speculation now is just that, you know what I mean? In a few months, we're almost there, bro. I think we're like, what are we? Probably like 6 weeks away from October? Yeah. October will be here in 6 weeks. We're about 2 months away from training camp. So, yeah, man. We'll see real soon.
Yeah.
Real soon. I saw, too, where your man got to – he met the athletic director, Dr. Ed Scott, your son, out at Football Fan
yeah,
Fest
man,
was,
for
this
sure,
past
man.
Weekend.
I was down there. I showed up super late. Yep. I showed up super late to the Fan Fest or whatever. But sometimes, you know, the people who show up late get the best stuff sometimes, man. But we showed up. And Gabe slid down. Gabe was really trying to get down to the players. I'm excited about that too, man, because Gabe is like really into Tiger football.
That's
like
good.
He really wants to go to these games. He had it set that he wanted to get autographs. He knew what players he wanted to get autographs from. Gabe is like a real, like the internet makes sports a lot simpler for kids than we did as a kid. Like when we were kids, man, we had to sit up and watch games. Like Gabe don't really watch games at all. These video games and the internet, social media. Really makes all this stuff accessible. Like Gabe knows who a lot of these guys were. They what school they came from, what they do, what they're good at. Gabe knew all this stuff, and they didn't even play the game yet. You know what I mean? So he was down there ready to get autographs. He did that. I saw Ed Scott. I chopped it up with him for a minute. He's an hilarious dude off the records. But anyway, I chopped it up with him, and then I told him about Gabe. He said that he knows about Gabe because he's seen the show and seen me talking about Gabe, and he met Gabe or whatever, and Gabe's locked in. He's dead set on being a Tiger. It's going to be hard to snatch him away. That don't mean y'all get him for free.
Oh, no.
Or a discount.
No, we definitely.
Or a discount.
Don't, yeah, I mean, get everything.
Yeah.
Get everything.
Yeah, I come from a long line of sane men. We ain't that easy to persuade like that. So, yeah, you ain't getting him for free, man. But anyway, but yeah, shout out to Ed Scott, man. He said some really encouraging words to him. He was basically telling Gabe that, like, you know, there's always going to be people that are going to try to tear you down and tell you what you can't do. He used the stadium as an example. People said he couldn't get it done. And he said, you look around, you see we got it done. He said, he was basically like, you know, give people something to talk about. You keep stay focused, stay locked in, listen to what your parents telling you to do, do the work on the field. And one day you'll be playing on this field. That's what he told him. It was super dope of him to do that for my son.
Yeah.
Add to that, he brought $7 combos to Simmons Bank.
Oh, yeah. I did not get one of those, but that will be on the palette once.
Oh, yeah. And
that
all
stadium is awesome, too, bro. I've heard I've seen some fans who said some kind of goofy stuff about it. That stadium looks freaking amazing, bro. And I've seen entire shopping centers get built in a couple of weeks. So I'm not worried about how it's going to look by the time opening day is. But they can play football in that joint right now, and it looks way better than Liberty Bowl has ever looked. So it's dope, man. I really like how it looks. It's really cool out there. I'm excited for Tiger football.
There you go.
I talked to my people who keep me connected. They said, brother, I got you connected again. I ain't bought a ticket to none of this stuff in ages, man. And I'm blessed for that, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm ready for Tiger football to get going, man. This was a conversation I was having a few years ago. Jason Smith, John, y'all already know.
That program will really be reaching new heights if they ever get you to buy a ticket. I tell you that. If Dr. Ed Scott can get you to buy a ticket,
they give me to buy a ticket at this,
brother. We done took off. We done took off at that point.
I don't even think the Kroger $5 tickets are even feasible with me, man. Like, I just can't do it. I just can't do it, bro.
You can't even do it for Huff. You can't do it for Huff.
No, man, no. He can huff and puff and blow the house down, but I'm still not buying a ticket. You got to give me one for sure.
We got work to do, Dr. Scott. We got work to do.
Well, no, it's just a pride thing, man. Like, I get a lot of free stuff, man. Like, I just get free stuff.
It's
like,
hard to break. See.
Yeah. I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good stuff, Ant. Appreciate you, as always, for coming on, man.
Appreciate
you.
Catch up. Man.
Anthony Sain joins us every Friday here on the show. By the way, there was a report out there that the Brandon Clark estate would not be paid out his $12.5 million that was left on his salary, left on his contract following his death in May. There was a report out there that it was not protected for death. Kevin O'Connor of Yahoo has reported that that is erroneous, that Brandon Clark's contract was completely protected for death, and that $12.5 million is expected to be paid in full through life insurance. So, you know, I don't know exactly how that breaks down. The estate will get the final year of Brandon Clark's contract. So,
good.
Yeah, that was a tough story, obviously. And you know, the report initially was that he would not get it, but it does sound like he's going to get it. So, or at least the estate is going to get it. So,
no kids, right? Okay, so the estate is mom, the family, and this. I don't think Brandon had kids. I could be wrong on that, but no, mom and him were still close. So either way, it's in terms of what you lost, it doesn't compare, but compared to nothing, I'm sure the estate appreciates it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Wrap this up on a Friday. J&J 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Welcome back. J&J 90 Turn FM, ESPN. If you guys only knew what was going on behind the scenes here. There's cameras. Okay. So anything you do can and will be held against you in the court of law on the audio and the visual here. But just a lot of backdooring, a lot of, Tonya Harding type moves going on down here. Mm.
That's what you call it.
The only question is how many victims? I think that's the question. How many victims of Tonya Harding will there be this offseason? I think there could be as many as two. I don't want to just limit it to one. I think there could be more than one.
I don't know what you're focused on. I'm focused on the Summer of 1,000 Engagements and it ending this weekend. You know that?
Oh, absolutely.
It ends on Saturday. You have to tell people to take advantage.
Well, we tell people all the time, if you're shopping anywhere other than Robert Irwin, you're doing it wrong. Because right now you can save up to 40% on engagement rings, wedding bands, anniversary bands, wedding sets. And if you spend $34.99 or more on an engagement ring, you get a free diamond wedding band plus that meant-to-be guarantee that you just can't get anywhere else, which means you design the ring, you get a year to bring it back for any reason. That's only at RIJ.
It's going to be the best jewelry shopping experience of your life. Just go see Howie, whether it's popping the question and getting that I do, or whether it's getting the perfect birthday gift, graduation gift. He's got it all, and he's got it for every budget, and he's got all the payment options, including on that engagement ring. You can propose now, pay later, and you've got the peace of mind, as John and I have told you, the 365 days to return it in the meant-to-be guarantee. Let Howie take care of you. Him and his family have been doing this for 40-plus years. Shop at all five locations, three here locally in Memphis or online at rijewelers.com.
All right, big night tonight in the NFL. We have three preseason games tonight. You know, again, last night for us, we did not have a great night on the betting side, but that's okay because Mendoza is ascending. That is what my coach says. My coach, Clint Kubiak, says that we are ascending. We can't win in the preseason. It's amazing. This is now five straight preseason losses for us going back to last year.
Okay.
So I would like to get that figured out in some way.
I'll just say though, there was real professionalism in the way that Kirk Cousins carried himself in that first, you know, in that scoring drive, and that's what you want, is to see competence now. And then do Tom Brady Raiders era.
Yeah.
You want to see competence and professionalism.
Yes.
And I, even though the loss, similar, same, what yep. you've been doing, different in approach, John. I saw some professionalism in
yes.
that. That's different.
Well, that's right. And it's a long road, as you know, from where we were.
Yeah, long road from clown show, where Mark had you, Mark Davis.
And yes, it is.
But hopefully, I think Tom's getting you out of it, bro.
Yeah,
perhaps. We'll see.
It's a long road, and you know, we got a lot of work to do. But you know, again, sometimes you just run into Gardner Minshew, who was 14-16 with 2 touchdowns yesterday. So anyway, yeah, I got that tonight. So NFL tonight, 3 games. You got Bucks, Jets, Dolphins, Commanders, and on ESPN Unlimited, Denver and Atlanta. So you want to see a little Tua Tagovailoa action? You can do that.
I'm looking forward to seeing Deshaun Watson tomorrow.
Yeah, big game for y'all.
Basically 2 years removed.
Yeah.
He's had, you know, been out of the league basically 2 years in terms of because of injury.
Yep.
And so we'll see what that body looks like now. Everybody says he's healthy. I'm sure he's been massaged up and he's ready to roll. He's loose.
Yes, he's loose. He's absolutely ready to go. So, yeah, that'll be intriguing. And then he gets the first half. Shadur gets the second.
Mm-hmm.
Week after that, it'll be Shadur getting the first one, him getting the second. So they're trying to find some starting quarterbacks out of that.
Well,
slot.
You have to get something out of your return on investment. You have to get something out of Deshaun, right? So you're going to start him.
Yeah.
To see if you can get something out of it, see if you can salvage it. If not, you're moving on to Shadur at some point this season, I figure.
Yeah.
Neither one of them might be your face in terms of the future, but you're gonna find out something on both this year.
Yes. Yes.
You have to.
And then you make a decision from there, but you'll get the answer, so that's all you can ever hope for. That's going to do it for us today. That's a week on the J&J Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, of course, to Anthony Sain for joining us. Thanks to Brooks Monaghan for hopping on the show as well. Ladies, women's soccer is taking on Alabama.
Tomorrow at 7.
Tomorrow on ESPN+. Jeffrey and company, he's up next. He's going to be breaking down this schedule that is, again, going to be hanging up in the Children's Museum.
Well, he got it yesterday.
He got it yesterday. He's going to do it again.
He was the breakdown.
He's going to do it again! He's going to do it again! You know, in Germantown, they give us a 96-gallon recycling cart. You know why they want us to have that, Brad? Because they want us to what?
Recycle.
That's a pro. And that's what Jeffrey is. He's gonna recycle like a pro starting now. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.